In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our parable in today's text starts out like this. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. And this is somewhat of a common theme for Jesus' parables. There's an owner or a master of something who leaves his house or his property, in this case a vineyard, in the care of people who are to manage the property for him, to do something productive with it. Now, if we kind of take a minute to decode the elements of the story so far, the vineyard, the owner, the tenants, it's pretty safe to say that understanding what Jesus teaches elsewhere in his other parables, that the owner of the vineyard, the man who plants the vineyard, is God the Father. And the vineyard that he plants would be his chosen people who are to do his will. And at that point, this is the nation of Israel that Jesus would be talking about. And the tenants represent especially the leadership of Israel throughout its history and up to that day, including the scribes and Pharisees, the ones sitting there listening to Jesus tell this story. He was talking about them. And everybody hearing Jesus would have instantly identified some of the features of this story because, well, they'd heard it before, at least a very similar story. It wasn't the first time someone used the image of a vineyard and its owner like this. It had been done a long time ago. In the book of Isaiah, there was a very famous and familiar passage that uses this vineyard imagery. Isaiah 5. And probably more than I would normally read in a sermon, but I want to read this text to you. Isaiah 5, 1-7. "Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasing planting. And he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed; for righteousness, but behold an outcry." This is the imagery that Jesus is building on. The vineyard is Israel. It belongs to the Lord God. He's done everything necessary for the vineyard that it should produce grapes, but it doesn't. And so the Lord's judgment falls on that vineyard at the time of Isaiah and now in the time of Jesus. It will be destroyed, which is what happened historically both times. Jerusalem and Judah fell to the Babylonians in 586 BC. The temple was destroyed and the people were taken into exile. By God's grace and mercy, after many years, they were able to come back from the exile, back to Judah and Jerusalem, rebuild the temple to be the Lord's vineyard once again, all the way down to the time of Jesus, because the purpose of the nation of Israel hadn't been completed yet. That was its purpose, for the Messiah to come from it. And this imagery of the vineyard would have automatically made that connection to all of these people who had studied the Scriptures. They would have remembered that it was a harsh rebuke and a judgment against Israel then, and that's what Jesus was proclaiming now, harsh judgment. He's summarizing, in a few words, hundreds and even thousands of years of rebelliousness by the Jewish leaders. And he did it quite succinctly. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard, but the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat him and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. So now we've added another set of characters to the story. the servants. The servants whom the owner sends to the tenants to receive what they ought to have given back to the owner, as tenants are to do. The servants here would represent the prophets. All the messengers of the Lord that had sent to Israel over the centuries to call them to repentance, to call them to faithfulness. But what did Israel do to those servants, to those prophets? They beat them and mistreated them. The prophets came looking for good fruit for the vineyard owner, for God the Father, but the people of Israel sent them away empty-handed. And this happened time after time. Moses, they grumbled against him and disobeyed. Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the other prophets were ignored and mistreated and even killed. The kings and the priests and the false prophets despised them and rejected them, persecuted them. So far, Jesus' story is matching up with the historical record. What's amazing is that the vineyard owner lets this go on for so long. Hundreds and thousands of years, as a matter of fact. You'd think that after the tenants abused even the first of his servants, let alone two or three, that the owner of the vineyard would take some measures against them. But this shows the patience of our God. That he doesn't strike those Israelites down right when they disobeyed the prophets, when they persecuted them. And it shows his patience with us still today when we do the same, when we reject the message that God's people bring. What's even more amazing is what happens next. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." After the brutal treatment that the servants received, he now sends in his son. He sends in Jesus Christ. He sends Jesus to the vineyard, to the people of Israel. And we have seen what kind of reception he is beginning to get. You see, the leaders of Israel are rejecting him even more so than they rejected the prophets. They hate him. And even now, as he's sitting here telling this parable during Holy Week, which is when this parable was spoken, the tension is mounting, the conflict is escalating, and Jesus' enemies are conspiring against him. Jesus knows what they're thinking. He speaks what's in their minds in the parable. But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir, let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." The scribes and priests wanted to get Jesus out of the way because he was ruining their prestige and their position and their power among the people, exposing their hypocrisy, exposing their selfish pride. So just as in the parable, real life was taking over. They wanted to kill the son. Just a couple of days later, this is exactly what happens. But once the tenant owners have done this to the son, what then? Well, that's a very poignant question that Jesus asks. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? And the answer? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. And that too is what ended up happening, just as it did in the time of Isaiah. 40 years later, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, now added to it killing God's son. In 70 AD, the Romans came in and they destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Not one stone left upon another, just like Jesus had said. Never again to be rebuilt. Today, an Islamic mosque sits on the site of the temple. So this parable of the tenants is a parable of judgment on unbelieving Jerusalem. The ones who rejected the Messiah, who rejected God's own son, Jesus Christ, who rejected the vineyard owner who sent his son to receive the fruit. And the vineyard was turned over to others. God's people on earth would no longer be under the nation of Israel, the Jews, but would become the apostolic church, the church of the New Testament, comprised of Jew and Gentile, all who trust in Christ for their Savior. And that's where you and I come in. You and I, we who trust in Christ, the church, we are God's vineyard now. What will we do when God sends His servants to us? What will we do when He sends His preachers, His messengers? What will we do when He sends us His Word, calling us back to God, calling us to repent of our sins, calling us to faithfulness and fruitfulness of God's people? Will we listen and heed God's Word? Or do we do as they have done throughout history? Do we resist and rebel and not listen to what God's telling us? The parable of the tenants serves not only as a judgment against ancient Israel, but it serves as a constant warning for us. Not to let the Word of God go in one ear and come out the other. Not to harden our hearts to God's Word, but to humbly receive God's Word as it's given to us, as it's preached and taught rightly. And really, when we come to the knowledge that we are in fact sinners who sin against God, when we have no righteousness in ourselves, why in the world would we want to resist that Word? For God sends these messengers into the vineyard. He sends messengers, though, that bear good news. Good news for you and I. It's a Word of God that's indeed patient and long-suffering, that God bears with us in our sin and continues to call us by His Word. He's not struck us down as we deserve for our rebellion. Instead, He sent His own Son, His own beloved Son, into the insanity of this hostility and rejection and death of this world to suffer and die for us, taking the judgment that you and I deserve, dying so that we might live. God's own Son won forgiveness by shedding His blood on the cross for you. See, the New Testament church, these are the others that Jesus is talking about, the others that God was going to give the vineyard to, the New Testament church, the apostolic church. By God's grace and because of Christ, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to us? What He'll do is He'll give us everything necessary to make us fruitful as people, which He does in His Word and sacraments. He'll bless His vineyard, for it is His vineyard after all. He'll keep us faithful. He'll keep calling us by the Word back to Himself. He'll keep sending servants to us to bring us to His Word. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He'll forgive your sins. He'll keep you in the one true faith. He'll graciously give you the inheritance earned by His Son, resurrection and eternal life. He'll raise your body on the last day. He'll give you life together forever with Christ and with all of God's people. Believe in His promise, because this is what the owner of the vineyard has done for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.